Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to Somewhere in the Middle with Michelle Berard. I am your host, Michelle Berard, founder and CEO of Urban Book Editor, LLC. And I am very, very happy to share this hour with you where we examine all those places where spirit meets life and the joys and challenges that may bring. So if you listen to our inaugural broadcast or any of our broadcasts at this point, you already know that Somewhere in the Middle is intended to be a safe place where we can learn and grow together. We discuss a variety of topics ranging from love to politics to money to business and beyond, and that's because the human experience is wide and varied. And I know that you have a lot to share with us, so we're not just going to be talking at you for an hour. This is going to be a participatory event experience, just like life, and I want to hear from you. So make sure you get your questions and your comments ready, because in the second half of the show, we'll be taking calls from you guys, our audience, and we want to hear you. So make sure you call in. Now, I want to start out, as I always do, by thanking Ms. Beverly Black and Tribe Family Channel for helping me to create this space for us. Tribe Family Channel is home to a family of wonderful shows exploring life, spirit, business, and culture, including The Woman at the Well, hosted by Ms. Beverly Black herself. And I also want to give a shout out to Lacey Fields, founder of the You Go Girl movement. If you guys haven't heard of it, please look Lacey up. That's Lacey Fields. She's been doing a lot of work to empower women and girls. And as you know, the youth are our future, and they need to be supported. They need to be encouraged. For those of you who were listening last time, you know that Lacey was my guest on the last show. And if you missed it, please make sure you listen to the replay. It will be worth the listen. You can get to the replay by visiting Tribe Family Channel online and checking out the show recordings. I also want to holler at Bruce George of the Genius is Common movement, which encourages all of us to embrace our inner genius and share it with the world. You can learn more about the Genius is Common movement at www.geniusiscommon.com. So make sure you guys check that out as well. There are lots of great videos and wonderful information for you there. Now, the theme of tonight's show is transitions. In fact, we'll be talking about change and transition over a couple of shows, because the only constant in life is change. And yet, that's something so many of us find challenging. And as it happens, I myself am in the middle of a pretty big change right now. I am packing up my whole house and about to move across the country. So I got really interested in this topic as I caught myself resisting in certain areas. I see my family members resisting in certain areas, and I wanted to explore this topic with you guys. So tonight, I have an amazing guest, and I am delighted and honored to have her on the show to share with you this evening. Beverly Holloway is a healing arts practitioner and spiritual transition coach on a mission to inspire as many people as she possibly can toward discovering their divine purpose. As a healing arts practitioner, her desire is to assist clients who are open to non-traditional methods and practices that promote healing, wellness, coping, and personal change through the use of mind-body therapies such as guided imagery, prayer, meditation, and spirituality. Her laughter, humor, and down-to-earth nature come through in her interactions and also promote healing in the lives of those she comes into contact with. As a spiritual transition coach, Beverly's mission is similar to that of Harriet Tubman, who led the slaves out of physical captivity through the Underground Railroad. Her assignment is on a spiritual level, and her divine purpose is to lead those who are willing to follow her out of religious bondage and captivity. Beverly's passion is to help people connect with their divine source on a deeper level and empower them to manifest the glory of God and demonstrate his power within them here on earth. She's an anointed teacher and motivational speaker with a divine ability to capture audiences and bring them into the presence of the divine. Beverly Holloway is also CEO and is of Inspirational Life and Wellness, LLC, and the Sacred Sisters Inspirational Life Network. So let's welcome Beverly Holloway to Somewhere in the Middle with Michelle Berard. Welcome, Beverly, and thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Michelle. It's an honor and a privilege that I'm having this opportunity to actually be with you today. So thank you so much, and to Beverly Black as well. I'm overjoyed.
Yay, I'm so excited. And I want to tell you why I'm really excited, because, you know, we talked about this a little bit. I'm going through some transitions with the move and all of that stuff, and it's been a little challenging. Like, today was a train wreck. And that often happens when you're in the middle of transition. You're like, oh, my goodness, what is going on? So you are, among other things, a spiritual transitions coach. And normally I start an interview with two questions. And the reason I start with these two questions is because I believe they lead into what you're doing and why. But for you, I'm going to add another question that I think will help our audience. So here are my three questions.
Okay.
Beverly Holloway, who are you? How did you become who you are today? And what exactly is a spiritual transition coach?
Okay, who am I? The fact that I am constantly evolving, what I've found is that, you know, on a daily basis, I'm continuing to evolve into my true authentic self. But who I am right now is someone that has a passion to really get other people to really tap into their heart and really discover who they are and to live out their assignment that they have in the earth. If I would have to describe myself just personally as far as who I am on just the everyday level, I'm someone that loves God. I'm very humorous, funny. Those are just a couple of little things. But a woman that is really in touch with my Creator and wanting to fulfill my purpose here in the earth, which is to serve humanity. And the way that I came to this place in my life, I would say it started when I was about 26 years old. That's when I began to really transition in my life. I became pregnant at the age of 26, and I had a near-death experience. And that's when I really began to really hunger and thirst to know more of God. I began to go to church more because I wasn't raised in church. And so that's when it really began. But even at the age of 13, or even going back further than that, I always remember having a connection with God. I used to run away into my closet, and I had an imaginary friend like kids do. And now as an adult, I realize that it was my creator. And so at the age of 13, I actually heard an audible voice of God. I heard these words, "I want you to serve me." But at the time, the only people that I saw that seemed to be bold about who they served were Jehovah's Witnesses, because they would be out passing out their Watchtower magazines, and that's what I thought as a teenager, what it was to serve God. And I remember telling God, you know, "I love you, Lord, but there is just no way that I'm going to be here on 3rd and Main at the bus stop with all of my friends, you know, passing out magazines. And I said, "I love you, Lord, but I'm sorry, I can't." And so I never spoke to God again after that until that near-death experience. And so that really began to set my life in motion. I really dug deep into the Bible. I didn't understand it. My mother thought I was going crazy. And even at the age of 26 is when I really made my first transition of leaving the place where I grew up and moved, packed up my stuff, and I've done that a couple of times, and actually drove from Ohio to North Carolina. And I just knew that I was supposed to go there. I knew that I said, "Mom, I feel like I'm supposed to speak to people. I don't know what to say, but I feel like I'm supposed to go to North Carolina." So that was my goal. It all began there. And it's just been one transition after the next. And so I'm just still on a journey and still evolving into who God wants me to be.
So what exactly is a spiritual transition coach?
Well, as a spiritual transition coach, it is my desire, and I had never heard of a spiritual transition coach until I really began to really meditate and really put together some things, some assignments that I felt that I was called to do. And again, Harriet Tubman is one vision that I had during my time of prayer. And God began to show me how she was able to make a transition and lead a whole body of people into freedom. And that the way that I saw it was that from a spiritual standpoint, that is my assignment, because there is so many people that are to God, people. I spent many years in church, was a co-pastor with my husband, and led, you know, congregations of people into the presence of God by demonstrating prayer, because there were a lot of people that wanted to know how to really develop an intimacy with God. And so my assignment is to help those that are sick of church as usual. They're tired of being in church and making their confessions and having faith and things just not really manifesting in their lives. And those that really want to develop a deeper relationship with Spirit. And so I'm building a bridge to help those that are open to it cross over into a more spiritual aspect of their existence, and to come into a greater awareness and consciousness of God in them. Because what I've found is that a lot of people are looking outward for different manifestations of God when He's already here. And so there's one scripture that I really love, and it's when the Apostle Paul was speaking to the church, and he said, I wish above all things that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened into the knowledge of Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, the glory that you're looking for has already come. And so in the Word of God, it also talks about the bridegroom coming. And I begin to ask questions, you know, ask God, look, now, if I were a bride, I would be pretty upset if, you know, I had put on my dress, dolled myself all up, and had to wait years for my bridegroom to come. And just what I believe in my heart is that we are in a time where it's time to stop looking outward and to look inward for a manifestation of God, and to really get in tune with our spirit so that we can really begin to manifest who God really is here in the earth, because we are his representation. And that's just my thoughts on it. But that is my assignment, to help people really come into the knowledge of who they are in God.
Wow. Okay, that's really deep. So one of the things that came to mind as you were speaking was, you heard that phrase, I think they talk about this associated with Gandhi, I think,
that,
about being the change you want to see in the world.
Yes, I've heard that too. I've heard that as well. Yes.
Yeah,
being
and
the
that came
that
to mind. Yeah, and that came to mind because it seems like you are embodying what it is, you know, internally, and then presenting that outwardly, what you want to help other people to do. So it sounds like, what was your journey to get to this point? You had the near-death experience, and then you moved from Ohio to North Carolina, and then what? I mean, you just had an epiphany one day, or was this like a slow process? What happened to move you in this path more directly?
Well, once I got to North Carolina, again, I had been really searching the Bible because I knew that God was in there somewhere. And so that was my point of contact, of beginning to connect with God. But not growing up in church, I had never, of course, I had gone to church every now and then. And there were, you know, I was used to someone always preaching at me. But when I got to North Carolina, I ended up working with a girl, and I asked her what church did she go to. And I ended up at a church, pretty properly church there in Charlotte, North Carolina, Victory Christian Center. And the pastor's name is Robin Gould, and his wife is Marilyn Gould. And when I walked into the sanctuary that morning and saw him standing before the congregation with the Bible open, actually teaching from the Word of God more so than preaching at people, I knew that I was in the right place. And I think I was there about 5 years at that church. And that's when I really began to really develop my confidence in myself as a woman. Through the scriptures where it talks about you are beautiful. And, you know, I took those things literally and I began to develop my relationship. I began to develop my confidence as a woman. And I really consecrated myself to God. I had a roommate that went to another popular church. Their church was known for teaching the word as well, but they were a real social church, so they had a lot of events that were social. And my church, they had events as well, but they were more deeper into the word. And I pulled myself away from a lot of social activities, and without exaggerating at all, I literally spent my face on my bedroom floor before God, crying out for him to reveal to me what my purpose was. And so this is at the age of 27 years old. That's when it began. And I remember my roommate, because after I got involved with ministry, her and her husband came to actually help with our children's church. And I remember her saying one day, she said, Bev, she said, you know what? She said, it was after one of my services that I did. She said, I see now the result of what you used to do years ago when we were roommates. And how we would invite you places and you would say, no, I'm going to stay home. You know, I'm just going to read my Bible. You know, I'm just going to stay here. Wow. She said, I wish I had followed you then, because she actually saw me transform into another person. And so that's where it began, me just really having a hungering and a thirsting after, you know, why am I here in the earth? And I remember working on a job, and I remember sitting at my desk, and all of a sudden I went to reach for the phone, to answer the phone, and that was kind of an epiphany, because as I went to reach for the phone, I looked at my hand and the movement of it, and it was like the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, the very fact that you're able to even lift your hand is because of me. And I mean, it just sent chills all over me. And so that's really where it began. After that, I knew there were a couple of different things that I received during those times of consecrating myself. One was, you will be married again, because I had gotten married when I was like 21. And I wrote down these things, you will be married again, because I used to ask God, you know, what is this about a husband? You know, I'm content with you. I don't necessarily want to be married, but I keep hearing this word husband. And then the other thing was, you will be involved in ministry, and it will be something of a great magnitude. And so what I began to do, just like it talks about, you know, and I'm not here to preach the Bible or anything like that, but in the Bible, and it talks about, I think it was Mary, and how she pondered the word, and how Martha was so busy doing other things, and Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, but she pondered things. And that's exactly what I did, which brought forth the manifestation of who I am at this point, because I began to say, okay, well, my eyes are open, you know, when this person comes along, and it happened. You know, yes, we were involved in ministry for about 10 years, so that manifested, and it was something of a great magnitude for that time and what we were doing, because it grew very quickly. And then, you know, some series of events happened, you know, that I may get into later on, but, you know, I'll just go ahead and say it now, you know, as a result of some, you know, things that just weren't so kosher as far as a husband, a pastor, and the way that he was treating his wife. And I found myself in a marriage miserable. And here I am serving God. I have to sit on the front row every Sunday morning, smiling. Everyone wants to know, oh, what is she going to be wearing this morning? How is she going to have her hair? And I had to stand on the front row and smile and act like things was okay and perfect at home. And I was absolutely miserable. And so a series of events took place. I remember crying out on my basement floor in my beautiful home. You know, I was living a very wonderful life that many people would have looked upon and envied, but I was miserable. And I said, God, now I know that it's not your highest and best for me to be living a life and being this miserable. This isn't your highest and best. I'm not saying that divorce is the answer, but what I am saying is that what I found in the word of God that I believe to be true to me is that you said that you would provide a way of escape for me. And I said, now I need you to show me whatever needs to be shown or revealed in this situation. I've already asked you to forgive me for anything that I've ever done that may not be perfect when it comes to a relationship, but not one person can always be wrong in a relationship. So show me where I've missed it. But if there's anything else I need to see, let me see it. And that was the catalyst to a series of events that took place in my marriage, and began to see some things that were not right. That was the catalyst to me becoming divorced and walking away from a lifestyle that many women would envy. I walked away with absolutely nothing. This is after 10 years of helping someone build their vision and their ministry. And here I was walking away with nothing, absolutely nothing. I said, look, you know, I don't need the BMW. I don't need the Mercedes. Just give me a little car that costs maybe a couple of $100,000, you know, maybe $1,000 just to get me from point A to point B. I don't need this. I don't need that. Hey, I'm good. And I walked away with absolutely nothing and began to rebuild my life again. And that's where I am today.
Wow. Now that is just amazing to me. And I, you know, there's so many women in particular, I think, that find themselves in a situation where they're kind of at a crossroads in their relationship. And they may cry out for help like you did, or they may just sit there and wonder, my goodness, what am I supposed to do? You know, there's so many challenges sometimes. You know, we know that women don't earn as much as men typically. We know that black women, Hispanic women in particular, earn less than white women, for example. And so thought of leaving such security has to, I mean, been there, done that, bought the T-shirt. I think I told you that when we spoke. I know it's very stressful. It is one of the most challenging transitions that I know I made some years back. And it sounds like it was equally, if not more challenging for you. So I'm curious, what would be something that you would recommend for women who might be in that circumstance where they're feeling safe and secure, maybe financially, but things just aren't right? What kinds of things might you say to help a woman think through the process of making some decisions on that?
Oh, boy. It's kind of difficult to really say, because you have to – I got to a point where I was so miserable and felt like I was dying a slow death, which I actually was, and I found myself in such a place of depression where it actually forced me to actually cry out to someone that was greater than who I am as a person. And so it's just really hard to say, because, you know, each of us are different in our own way. And I know that, you know, to walk away with absolutely nothing, and then, but the main key is that you really have to dig deep within your heart and make a connection and understand that there's someone greater than you. Yes, you may not be able to see with your physical eyes, but there is someone that is much greater than you that does not want you to be in a situation where you're not thriving. And so, you know, it's not to say that, you know, if you're having a, you know, a marriage that, you know, is just not so good or whatever, you know, hey, just disconnect or get divorced or anything like that. I do believe in, you know, getting counseling if you need to get counseling, if it were a situation as far as a relationship like that. But what you really have to know is that once you do make a decision that, hey, this is just not really working, this isn't for my highest and best, you have to know that when you make that first step in the direction of peace and contentment and joy, and you have to really meditate on that word joy and think about experiences that you've had in your life where you were at a joyful place, and allow those memories to generate that energy that you felt back then, and really receive that energy again. That's where guided imagery comes in, and meditation, because you can really create those energies within yourself and say, you know, yeah, that feels good to me. And then begin to walk in that direction of what brings peace in your heart. And I'm telling you, God will meet you there as you take that step. And it's really, it does involve mindset. And you just really have to want it. You just really have to want it, that, you know, you're willing to die in order to get it. Because that's exactly where I was. I was so hungry to be free. And I've had people laugh sometimes. I said, look, you know, I never once looked back. Never looked back. I said, I ran like a Hebrew slave. When I saw that escape route open, honey, I ran. I never looked back. Not one time. And I have people say, oh, well, I know that was difficult. I know that, you know, you loved him. And, you know, I'm like, honey, I ran. Do you hear me? Like Beverly, she's going to get me for bringing this up again. But, you know, she mentioned during an interview with my wonderful friend Janelle, because I wasn't able to get in on the interview. She said, well, Beverly's not with us today, but she turned on her stilettos and went and handled her business. And so, you've just got to dig your heels in and really do what you have to do to bring joy into your life. That's just what I believe.
That's awesome. So let me ask you to elaborate in a different way then. So you mentioned kind of, I guess, guided visualizations or guided imagery. What other types of things could someone do to help them settle their mind, settle their spirit, and come to some decisions on whatever their challenging situation is? I mean, we've been talking about it in terms of leaving a relationship, but there's so many other things that you can have to go through or have transition. Like for me, we're making this big move, right? So every so often when I get stressed out, I have to listen to certain music to get my energy back into this mood. So I went one night and sat down and looked up every single song that I could find about California to make my California playlist and get my head back in the game, because I was getting stressed out about this thing. But the decision had been made and wheels were in motion, right? So I was like, nope, I got to get my head back in the game. And that's what I did. So that's what I do when I get stressed out about this. I sit down and listen to California Love, California Dreaming, all kinds of California songs, just to get my head in the game. What other kinds of things do you think that people can do that they might be lighthearted like what I'm talking about, but they might be more serious? What kinds of things do you recommend?
Well, one thing that is really good as far as really helping you with your mood is aromatherapy. I always thought that aromatherapy just had to do with smell good. You know what I mean? Spray on some cologne or something. Essential oils can really help. I had a lady today share in my group on Facebook, and I mean, she's just an expert when it comes to essential oils. And she's really done her history, and it actually came from an experience she had with the loss of her mother. And she found out that her mother had terminal cancer. And so when her mother passed away, she was just in a shambles. And a friend of hers, or someone she mentioned, had introduced her to essential oils, because they can help with your mood and they can really help your sense of well-being. And she talked today about how that really helped her with her mood and to just feel more uplifted. So that's one thing that can help you sometimes when it comes to your mood. But then you did the perfect thing as far as music. You know, music has energy. Things have energy. And so, of course, music can really uplift your spirits. And what it does, it elevates you to a place that is higher than your situation, those vibrations that are coming forth. And so it raises you up into a high place where you can begin to see things from a different perspective. And one thing, another thing that I never knew before, but I know now why I've been having such a sense to really get back into art. I've never really considered myself to be an artist, but my dad is an artist. I have a cousin that's a musical artist. His name is Van Hunt. And, you know, so music has been in my blood. You know, I've always thought that I wanted to be a jazz singer. And so, you know, there's been so many different things over my life that I've wanted to do. But as I've been on this journey of discovering who I am and my purpose, I've asked God, you know, how do all of these things fit in, you know, with that? But one thing, you know, I used to think, well, you know, I look like my dad, you know, but why don't I know how to draw like he knows how to draw? And why don't I know how to paint like he knows how to paint? Now, I can slap some paint on a piece of canvas and come up with an abstract design and all that, you know, and, you know, I can do that. But as far as really being an artist, but art, and I learned this through the Healing Arts Institute, that I've been going to since last year, but art is another way where you can really elevate yourself to a place where God will speak to you in that as you're doing it. It can even come through putting your hands in nature. If you like gardening and things like that, you know, that's a way of you really connecting with Mother Earth. You know, where it can really help you when you're going through transition, you're not really sure, and everything just, you know, just seems to be going haywire, but you can actually take a moment, because self-care is so important, pull away and do some gardening if you feel, you know, led to do that. But those are just a couple of things. Art, like you mentioned, music, gardening. These are all things that will help you make a deeper connection with spirit so that you can really open yourself up to really be ministered to, you know, and really feel that there's someone greater that's working on the inside of you that has your back.
That's awesome. Well, and it's funny you mentioned gardening, because I'm not a gardener. I've been known to kill plants. As much as I love plants, I haven't been good with that. But
so am I.
There is one. I know. I that's just not one of my gifts. But one thing I do occasionally, and I actually have a friend of mine that she teases me because I tell her to do this, and we'll go outside and do this sometimes, is take off my shoes and stand on the earth.
Yes.
Here in the West, at least, I mean, I know in a lot of other countries, people walk around barefoot outside a lot more. But we, especially if we're urban people, you know, we're city dwellers, we tend to always have shoes on, and we don't have that direct connection with the earth. And there's something about putting your feet right in the grass, right in the dirt, you know what I mean, or in the sand if you're at the beach. It just grounds you immediately. So that whatever was in your mind causing the chaos and confusion and agitation, it is immediately pulled down, and you can kind of start to think again.
You are exactly right. I have tried over the years, ever since, you know, it's always been like this that I can remember, that, you know, I see these really cute house slippers, you know, the little furry ones, and, you know, oh, those are so cute. But I have never been able to keep house slippers on. There, I will find one over here and one in another room. I just can't keep them on my feet because I just always feel like I have to be barefoot. And so, yes, you know, it keeps you grounded to the earth because there's energy. There's energy in that, and it does. It really keeps you grounded. You know, I love burning candles. And, you know, I was walking through, I'm in a new place now because I transitioned recently as well. And I'm like, you know, I'm just not liking this energy here, and I've got to do something to change this. And, you know, I'm also one person that my art comes through in my interior design. And so I really love creating spaces, and that's something else that I want to do even in my practice and in my work. There's so many different things that I can do and want to do to even help people create sacred spaces in their home, where I'm just one of those people, I can't just slap anything on the wall. But when I walk in, it's like my home whispers to me. It's going to tell me if a clock needs to go over there or if a mirror needs to go over here. And so, you know, creating an atmosphere in your home is so very important because, you know, it should tell a story when people walk in. When you walk into your home and you turn that key, especially, you know, those that are working, you know, every day and you spend most of your time at work, you know, when you walk into your home, it should hug you when you walk in. And so that's another way of really keeping yourself in tune with spirit. Keeping yourself grounded and aware. I mean, I just can't stress that enough, but that's another way of doing it. But you're so right, you know, just putting your feet down on the earth and just feeling the energy that comes forth from that is just amazing.
That's wonderful. And actually, what you say about creating space for yourself, I think that that's what the home really is, right? It's like a sacred space for you, yourself, if you're by yourself, or for your family, and then a space where you can welcome friends in as well and enlarge that family. And that's part of why the energy's got to be just right. You know, you never walk into a place and you're just like, oh, no, I can't be here.
Yeah.
You know, and you got to kind of leave out, like, nope, I can't stay here. I always want my home to feel inviting to people. And I think that's part of that energy that you're talking about.
Yes, it most definitely is. It definitely, and I'm that way too. Like I, you know, I want my guests to be comfortable, so I'm not gonna, you know, unless that's all I have. But I'm not gonna invite someone in and sit on a rock or, you know, have some. Well, maybe a rock because that is a part of the earth. But you know,
yeah.
I don't want my guests to come in and, you know, think that I don't want them to lounge or be comfortable on my couch, for example. You know, I want my interior to greet them and welcome them to where they sit there. And I don't know, that's probably why I've had a lot of friends that I think that I'm a counselor more so than I am a coach. And I've had to kind of educate them on that. I'm like, no, you're not coming in here to sit on my couch like you would with a counselor. Now, I've already given you counsel, and I'm not a counselor, but I'm a coach. Now, I can help you move from point A to point B, but if you're just wanting me to sit there and just hold you and just rub on you and, you know, like I think you want me to, I'm sorry, but, you know, you're going to have to put in the work. But, you know, I just love having a comfortable space for people to, you know, really just sink down and just really be comfortable.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I think sometimes we forget how important environment is as part of our own well-being.
True.
You know, like just even just when your desk gets too messy, you know, it's almost like a reflection of what's going on in your mind, you know, and
yes,
by clearing that space, that it helps to ease things a little bit, even just tiny things like that. Like for me, my obsession is every dish must be washed before I go to sleep. Every single one. Otherwise, I feel like everything is just, nope, we can't. You know, everybody's got their thing. What is your thing that you feel like you have to have your space just right? What, just for you personally, what is that one thing?
Now, I'm going to have to work on the dishes thing because I think I may have a couple in there from last night. But anyway, I'm going to have to work on that. But my thing to have my space just right is that I do not like, for example, the home that I moved from back June, it was all tile. And I loved that because, you know, walking barefoot on that tile, oh, it was heavenly. And so where I am now, there's carpeting. Yeah, of course, where I was, you know, there was carpeting like in my bedroom, you know, in the bedrooms, but not throughout the rest of the house, you know, in the living room, dining room, none of that had carpet. And so I do not like to walk on my carpet with shoes on because, you know, it just bugs me that, you know, germs from the outdoors are, you know, coming into my home. And I'm not one of those people that, you know, I'm just, you know, afraid of germs or anything like that. But, you know, I have a friend that, you know, has been coming by and, you know, has been here or whatever. And I'm like, you know, look, you know, you need to take those off. Because I can just feel the little energies that you know, are trying to get down on my carpet. And I just don't like that. It is not that I'm just paranoid and one of those people, oh, you know, you're just going to dirty up my carpet. But, you know, it's just this energy that really bugs me. So that's one thing of mine. You know, I've, and this may just kind of be off topic, but another thing that, you know, over the years, especially when I was married, I don't, you know, don't come into my room and get comfy. Like if I invite you and say, oh, I'm in my room here, you know, because I've got this comfy mattress, right? And, you know, don't sit on my bed, you know, or, you know, even at the foot of it. So there's just certain little things that, you know, that just have to be a certain way. But I would say mine is just, really, just I don't really like a whole lot of, you know, negative energy. It just really, you know, bugs me. But, you know, it's not like I'm obsessed about it. But, you know, the dishes thing I'm going to have to worry about. Oh, my one biggest one is that I cannot stand for it to be dark. Every morning, if I'm here on the weekends, the first thing I do is open up my blinds. I have to have light coming in, and that's one thing that I don't like. I'm grateful, I'm thankful about where I am right now, but the way this is situated, it does not get enough light, and that has really been annoying me. So I'm going to have to figure out a way to bring more light in here, and I'm going to bring some live plants in here too. But that's one thing that you know, I have to have light.
Now that's actually really interesting to me. And before we go on, I am going to say we're going to open the phone lines. So if you guys have any questions, you want to ask Beverly Holloway anything at all, go ahead and give us a call, and we'll get you on the air with her. But with regard to the light, I think that's really important in terms of mood also, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, most definitely. You know, because I've heard that it's great to be in Arizona because there's always sun here. And so that may be one reason why, you know, God kind of led me here. I know there's more reasons to it than that. But, you know, especially when it comes to depression, I didn't know this until years ago when I had, because I've dealt with that, you know, for years off and on, you know, in my life in the past real severely. And I didn't know until a doctor told me that I had a vitamin D deficiency that, you know, it causes depression, a lack of vitamin D. And so, of course, we know that we can get that from the sun. So it's just really important to, you know, have light. But I'm telling you, it bugs me because I'm not too pleasant. And if I'm in my home and it's just not dark, if it's dark, except for at night when I want to go to sleep, but I have to have light coming in. That's a must.
Well, and that's why it's important then. I feel like I've read or heard somewhere that in some of the Scandinavian countries where it's dark a lot, or even I think it's the Scandinavian countries, right, that are dark a lot, that people tend to be more depressed there sometimes.
and they have fairly high suicide rates. I feel like I read that somewhere. So
that
would tie into the vitamin D deficiencies, perhaps?
Yes. Vitamin D causes depression, and I never knew that. I never knew that and associated with that until a doctor diagnosed me with a deficiency. And years ago, I think it was back in 2011, I believe it was, and I said, wow, I never knew that, never knew that.
Yeah, I'd never heard that either, and actually, that just makes so much sense. So I guess that would encourage, we should encourage everybody to get out and get in the sun for
yes.
a little while every day, right?
Exactly. That's what they say, get out and get some sun. And I'm telling you, I have got more sun. I've been here like 10 years, and this is my 10th year here, 2017. Seven being the number of completion, I feel as though, I don't know, I'm not going to say for sure, but I kind of feel like eventually I'm going to be migrating somewhere else. But that, I believe there's still some more that I need to do here and see here and experience here. And mine is somewhat recreational, which is fun, because there's been so many things that because of my transition and coming here, there's so many places that I have not seen, even though I've been here as long as I have, because I have been on a journey. And maybe one day I can come back and talk about the dark night of the soul. That's an interesting topic. But I went through that for so many years and in a dark place. And so the light is shining now, and I'm just going to get out there and enjoy it and do some fun things.
That's awesome. And you're in Arizona. That's a great place to be to do a lot of outdoorsy stuff, right? Don't forget climb and hike and all that kind of stuff in Arizona.
Yes, a lot of hiking, which you have to be kind of cautious about, you know, especially in the summer months. But, yes. The Grand Canyon, Sedona is beautiful. It would be lovely if you could see that one day. But they have an area called the Vortexes where there's energy there. And I've heard, I'm trying to think, where did I read this at? But and it seems you may not be able to wrap your brain around it, but someone was saying that they had went to the vortex, and it was like the trees were actually twisting and turning. Now, that seems like way out there. But I've been to Sedona, but I haven't actually gone to the vortexes. But that's something that I want to do because Sedona is such a spiritual place. I would love to live there. But there's so many beautiful things and, you know, the native reservations, and because I love culture, but it's a beautiful place. It's hot, but it's beautiful.
That's awesome. Well, Beverly, we've got a caller, area code 408, caller.
Awesome.
Hi, yes. I'm Beverly Black. I'm the creator of Tribe Family Channel, and I just wanted to chime in and tell you how much I am enjoying this conversation on Somewhere in the Middle with Michelle Berard and Beverly Holloway. And I have heard so many similarities that I initially started off listening to this program, sitting outside, enjoying the sun, taking in the light, loving the earth, one with nature, God, and creation. And you guys are just talking my language to the point where now I got to get out, get up, come in a house where it's quiet so that I could chime in and just tell you I appreciate the transparency, the level, and the depth of honesty and what you're sharing with your audience. You ladies are being listened to on a global level, and it is very much so a healing platform. So Somewhere in the Middle has really made its, you know, mark. This subject here on transitioning, it's something. I could go there, but, you know, part of what you all have been talking about I vowed to share in my next book, but I'll share a little bit here, but it will be for the first time. But,
wow.
You know, I've never heard anyone else say that they heard the voice of God. Maybe one person, maybe one other person, but, you know, I laugh when people say, you know, and they're preachers. I mean, I'm talking about big church leaders saying, you know, no one's ever heard the voice of God. And I want to say, excuse me, may I interject? Okay. I have heard.
Maybe you haven't.
Maybe you haven't heard God's voice, but I have heard his voice, felt his touch, seen his face. He's given me his heart. He's promised me his word. He's moved mountains for me. He's been there through the valley. You have to have a relationship. And before I forget, I wanted to touch on, Michelle brought up a place that, you know, you had heard of that had the highest suicide rates in the world. And that, well, I won't say in the world, but Seattle, Washington has a high suicide rate because of the rain.
Yes. I was thinking of that.
I know
too.
That because I have people, I have people that have lived in Seattle all their lives. And I love Seattle. I'm born in San Francisco. So it's, you know, metropolis. It reminds me of a rainy day in San Francisco. And I love all the, you know, all the seasons. So I love your conversation. Aromatherapy, definitely. I've been faced with, the first time I heard God's voice, he was answering my prayer, and I was telling him, I can't stay here. I can't stay here. You know, I'm an at-home mom now, and he's forgotten who picked him up and set him upright. In order to be in this 10-year relationship first, marriage second, you know, I've had to lie about my income so that I didn't appear to make more than him, you know, that pride, that ego, this and that. You know, I grew up a stone's throw from Stanford. What do you think I'm making? Okay. Now I gotta lie to you. You know, I'm in the heart of Silicon Valley. I'm an electromechanical microscopic fiber optics technician.
Wow.
Wow.
So, yes, I'm not making what you're making, boo-boo. I'm helping what you're making, okay?
Yes.
Don't get mad. Don't get mad. You know, and if I decide not to work out, you better keep your job, okay? And I'm raising our children. You know, I'm raising a stepson. He's raising stepchildren. Mm-hmm. We're raising our daughter together. I work when I want to. My sister told me that the job doesn't, you know, you don't work for the job. The job works for you.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, the job works for you, and when it ceases to work for you, you find another one. So I've made those transitions. And then I just wanted to touch on something that Michelle asked. And, you know, I'm not going to keep you ladies, but you have touched on some of everything that is just so phenomenal in my own life. What advice I would say to a woman going through that, since you all have went around the table? Since you all have went around the table with that. And the reason I have to pause is because I'm engineering and the lady is talking in my ear telling me that the time is up. So I have to pause and hear her. So I apologize for those that cannot hear why I'm pausing. But we're not stopping. Let me just say this. I would tell anyone faced with that decision to first listen for God's guidance. It is imperative that you do not listen to mere mortal man.
Yes.
Who has neither a heaven nor a hell to put you in, that's going to have all kind of advice for you, that has never walked in your shoes, half of them divorced, single, miserable, bitter, and you going to them for advice. So you better hang on to the hands of God, whoever is your God. I choose to call God, my God, the creator of all things. Now, there are people that are praying to a lot of things, but like I said, I felt his touch, heard his voice, seen his face, and I choose to call God, who is the creator of all things, my God.
Yes.
And let him lead you, because any one woman, you know, one thing, and then I'm going to let you have your show back, but one thing is that you can give people advice, and don't be surprised if they don't come back to bite you, because they didn't listen to their own internal voice and that voice of God. All right, so ladies, I just wanted to say that because there is too much in common, and both of you will have to be on The Woman at the Well. And God bless you. I love this show, Michelle, and great job, Beverly.
Oh, love you
Thank
too,
you
Beverly.
So
it's my honor.
Thank you so
God
much.
God bless. You're welcome.
Well, I want to actually, I'm gonna piggyback on that a little bit, because when you're, it's not always that you're going to hear, some people don't hear the voice of God, because like for me, I get nervous when I hear things, when I hear things, but because I started thinking, well, maybe I'm not, I don't know what, you know, I got to second guess myself around here. But when your soul is completely agitated about a decision that you are making, you will know when you've made the right decision when your soul is at peace again.
Yeah.
As long if you make a decision that is contrary to what is your path and what you're supposed to do, you will feel agitated and upset. At least this is how it manifests for me. I will be so agitated and upset, you know, almost feeling like, oh my goodness, I can barely breathe. Agitated and upset. And then the minute I get back on my path, everything calms down, my mind settles, I feel peaceful. And I think that
yes.
that is a really good indicator.
Yes, it most definitely is. And one thing that I've learned, and I'm going to keep this real short, but what I've learned, and this just came through some, now I know a lot of people, they're not into, you know, like, cards and stuff, because that's one thing that I also provide for clients, and I'm not a psychic or anything like that, but they're just tools of following your intuition as far as giving readings, mm-hmm. and mine are more inspirational, but, you know, it helps me even in my own prayer time and meditation where, you know, I have different decks of cards on different things. And it's so interesting because I was just really spending my quiet time one day, and through the cards, and this was right in tune with what, you know, I had in my heart that was kind of concerning me as far as, you know, making a decision and, you know, then wondering, but what I read was during this morning of my time of prayer and meditation was that even if you take a step and you're not sure of it and you think maybe you made the wrong decision or whatever, the universe is always able to recorrect it. The universe
okay.
will always, as long as your heart is desiring to go in the right direction, because some people get paralyzed and they don't move at all. But the universe, yep. God, or whatever you want to label or call spirit, your heart is in tune because you want the right thing to be manifested in your life, and things can always self-correct themselves later on down the road. That's one thing that I've learned. Yes.
I believe that's true. You may take a circuitous route, but you will get back on your path eventually because that is what must happen.
Yes, you will. Now, it's different when you marrying the wrong person and you know in your heart you got all that chaos and uncomfortableness and you know you need to ask some questions and you're not getting no answers, and that's a different, and that can kind of set you back for quite a while. And, honey, I've got experience with that too. But, honey, once I realized and I didn't care, honey, I called myself running to Vegas and go get married. And in my heart, I'm thinking, you know, you don't really want to do this. You know, it sounds real nice to go to the chapel and get married, but, honey, you don't really want to do this. Even on the day of, I don't really want to do this. But you feel that you're already too far in it. Oh, honey, even after, I'm like, no, this This isn't something that should have taken place, but I wasn't going to continue to go through it. I've learned that, look, I can own up to decisions that I may make in life, you know, and realize, you know, I don't know if that was such a good thing. Fortunately enough, you know, I haven't had a lot of situations like that in my life. But I'm telling you, once you realize that you've kind of gone in the wrong direction and you know you have, you might want to be asking for some self-correction so that you can get back on your path.
Indeed.
Yes.
And that's ultimately the goal, get back on path.
Exactly.
So I just want to say we're coming up to the top of the hour. Well, we're over the top of the hour a little bit. So we are going to wrap up, but tell everybody, Beverly, what do you have going on? What do you want our listeners to know about?
Well, I want listeners to know that you want you. If you want to be a doctor, if you want to be a nurse, if you want to be a model, if you want to be a minister, whatever it is that's deep down in your heart that you want, believe me, it wants you. And that is where you begin to really tap into the divine will of God for your life. And I'm going to leave you with this. There's a scripture, again, that talks about God will give you the desires of your heart. And I always saw it as being, oh, God's going to give me that home. He's going to give me that house. He's going to give me that car. But what Spirit showed me and gave it to me in a whole different light is that those desires, your desire to move to California, my desire to perhaps move to New Mexico, those desires that you have in your heart, regardless of whether anybody else understand it, like Beverly was talking, you know, or you don't need to do that, or, you know, people trying to give you direction, those desires that you have in your heart were placed there by God so that you can begin to walk in the direction of them so that you can manifest his glory in the earth. Those didn't just come from you. They came from God, and that's where a lot of people miss it. But whatever it is in your heart, follow that way of peace that feels good to your soul, and it will not lead you wrong.
Well, there you go. That's it. Everybody, I want to encourage you to follow this woman, Beverly. Beverly, where can people follow you?
Well, you can find me on Facebook. My business page is Inspirational Life and Wellness. You can find me there. I kind of get a little raw sometimes on my personal page. You know, I'm real kind of blunt sometimes, so you might want to follow me on my business page, you know, if you're real sensitive. But then you can also find me on Instagram at the Inspirational Life Guru. That's kind of like my nickname, you know, the Inspirational Life Guru. And then you can also book a free inspirational life chat with me by going to www.inspirationallifewellness.com.
Awesome. Very cool. So everybody, follow Beverly, the Inspirational Life Guru. Make sure you reach out to her, see what she's talking about. She's got lots of wisdom, lots of information. And I think, like me, she views all of this also as a learning process. There is nothing that is carved in stone. There's always something new to learn. And so it's a give and take and exchange. Beverly, thank you so much for joining me here on Somewhere in the Middle with Michelle Berard. That's our show this week. So, guys, you can reach me online at urbanbookeditor.com or on Facebook and Instagram as Urban Book Editor. Send me a note. I'd love to hear from you. Maybe send in some topics you'd like us to cover on the show. Again, big shout out to Beverly Black, Tribe Family Channel, and all the Tribe Family Channel. Yay!
Yes.
It is a joy to be a part of it. You guys be good, stay mindful, and remain prayerful. I will see you again on Somewhere in the Middle with Michelle Berard on Friday, August 4th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain, and 5 p.m. Pacific. I will be on Pacific time by then, guys. I'm so excited.
Yes!
And my guest will be
Dorlin Laporte. She's a spiritual counselor. We're going to continue with this theme of transition, of change. And remember what Beverly Holloway said, what you want wants you. Beverly, thanks again. Everybody,
thank you.
Peace and blessings. Thanks.
Love
bye.
You. Bye.
Napa Know How. A Napa guy knows more isn't always better, unless we're talking about full-size vans. These beasts do more than get you from A to B. They have so much space a man can live in it. With shag carpeting, waterbed, and a sweet lava lamp, these mobile abodes have all the comforts of home. With quality parts and plenty of Napa know-how, you can keep the original tiny house running longer, stronger. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.